Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to talk with Father Sean Haggerty, the Vocations Director. Boy, always a lot going on in that office, and of course the ordination's coming up. We're going to talk about that and all of the summer activities with Father coming up in just a bit. Jean Young will have news for us also in just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Lenten Sunday. Donna Cannon with the first and second reading. Monsignor Charles Mangan with the Gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them and bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and have you rise from them, O my people. I will put your spirit in you that you may live, and I will settle you upon your land. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord. I have promised, and I will do it, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give you life to your mortal bodies also, through his Spirit dwelling in you. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The sisters of Lazarus sent word to Jesus, saying, Master, the one you love is ill. When Jesus heard this, he said, This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, Let us go back to Judea. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise. Martha said, I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. He became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Sir, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him? But some of them said, Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died? So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. Because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, Untie him and let him go. Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month to assure the safety of all children in the Diocese of Sioux Falls. Last year, 98% of adults volunteering or employed by a diocesan or parish organization completed the Safe Environment Program. 13,800 children enrolled in a Catholic school and or religious education program also completed an age-appropriate program. Since the 2016 launch of the CMG Connect training tracking platform, 4,000 adults have created a secure online account to complete safe environment requirements. More information about the Safe Environment Program, including parent resources, is available at sfcatholic.org/safe-environment. You can also read and see more about the diocesan efforts in the April edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now or soon, and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson and Wendy Kelly, director of the state's Department of Corrections, have been named as defendants in two lawsuits that are seeking preliminary injunctions to stop 8 executions planned for the month of April. In late February, Governor Hutchinson signed proclamations to set 4 execution dates for 8 men on death row between April 17th and 27th so they could take place before one of the state's lethal injection drugs expired. The lawsuits filed this past week claim the state's rush to carry out the executions violates the inmates' constitutional rights to adequate legal counsel and the time needed to fight the governor's order. Governor Hutchinson's decision was announced days after the state's attorney general said the inmates had exhausted all of their appeals. Among those protesting the scheduled executions is a group of Catholic priests who wrote to the governor urging him to commute death sentences for the 8 men and give them life in prison without the possibility of parole. When the U.S. Supreme Court looked at the issue of pension benefits for employees at religious hospitals this past week, it seemed uncertain how the justices would decide this case. The ambiguity was perhaps best described by Justice Sonia Sotomayor, who said at one point during the oral arguments, "I'm torn. This could be read either way in my mind." The court was looking at 3 church-affiliated hospital systems sued for underfunding pension plans of about 100,000 employees. Officials from the hospitals argue they are exempt from complying with a federal law covering employee pension benefits, but lower courts have ruled in favor of employees. The case involves 2 Catholic networks, St. Peter's Healthcare System of New Brunswick, New Jersey, and Dignity Health of San Francisco, California, along with Advocate Healthcare of the Chicago area, a merged network of Evangelical, Lutheran, and United Church of Christ hospitals. It hinges on interpretation of the Federal Employee Retirement Income Security Act of 1974, which requires pension plans to be fully funded and insured. Congress amended that law in 1980 to carve out a narrow exemption for churches and other religious organizations. Also at the U.S. Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court sent a Texas death row case back to lower courts this week, saying the inmate's intellectual disability should prevent his execution. The court's 5-3 decision reversed a Texas appeals court ruling that said inmate Bobby James Moore was not intellectually disabled based on state criteria and could face execution. Karen Clifton, executive director of the Catholic Mobilizing Network to End the Death Penalty, praised the Supreme Court's decision, calling it the needed step toward justice for some of the most vulnerable in our society. In affirming a person with intellectual disabilities should not be executed, the court made it clear that states must uphold the needs of all of its citizens, she said in a statement this week. The court's majority opinion, written by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, said the Texas Appeals Court ignored current medical standards and used outdated criteria, that is, in determining Moore's intelligence. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Very good, Gene. Thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning at Catholic Views, we are joined by Father Sean Haggerty for our periodic visit on vocations. Father, always good to have you back.
It's good to be here, Jerry.
There's always a lot to talk about with the vocations world because it's kind of like rust. It never sleeps, right? It just keeps going.
It does. It just keeps on going. So and so do we. So there we go.
Yeah. So appreciate you taking a little bit of time to share with us. You know, I know as summer approaches, there's always just an awful lot going on for the guys. They transition home from school and into that summertime activity, and they get a variety of experiences, again, trying to help shape them, right, to how to try to give them that full experience.
Yes. You know, we in the summertime, it's really the opportunity to have really formation in the pastoral area. Each seminarian, you know, they got their intellectual formation, They get their human formation and spiritual formation, and then also their pastoral formation. Those are the four pillars of formation that Pope John Paul II, the great, now a saint, obviously, places before us. And so the pastoral formation, that's really a great opportunity for the guys to dig in. A lot of them are really excited about going into the parish and like, what's it like? And what's a priest do all day? And all those things. And so now they really get a great opportunity to spend with the priests over the summer. So,
yeah, and I know for a lot of them, they just appreciate the time being back in South Dakota as well.
Exactly, yeah. You know, we've got guys in six different seminaries, even overseas in Rome, whether it's St. Paul or in the East Coast, out in Connecticut or Boston, Massachusetts area, and or Winona, Minnesota, and there's nothing quite like being back in home.
Yeah, absolutely so.
So, and dealing with the people from South Dakota. And so they always tell me, Father, I can't wait to get back home.
And for almost all of them, their families are here too.
So, exactly. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. So
it's a good way to reconnect with family a little bit as well. So we got a lot of ground to cover this morning. First of all, I want to just say, I know that you are still in the process of getting new applications for next year, for next fall. Is it too late, or what's where are we at with all of that?
Do you have some in mind,
Jerry? Well, you never know. I'm no.
So we do take applications, and it's getting close to the end of the application time. If a guy is listening and feeling the call to come to the seminary, I'd say give me a call in the next couple weeks. Otherwise, we'd have to wait till the next fall, or maybe even.
Sometimes semester time.
Yeah, sometimes we can do semester time. Yep. There are cases where we do that.
That's when I went.
Yeah. So, but we do have the application process is going on now, and generally, guys are kind of surprised when I tell them, "Yeah, it'll take about 3 or 4 months really to go through the application process," and that's because we give them their application. One big piece of that is an autobiography. Also, there's background checks, and then there's letters of recommendation, baptismal certificates, all those things, different interviews. I have an interview committee that I put together with the visit with another priest. Mm-hmm. If that all looks good, then we do what's called a psychological evaluation, and that usually takes 3 or 4 weeks to get into, and then 3 or 4 weeks to get the results. And so that's one of the big time pieces there. And then after that, obviously, they meet with the bishop. And the bishop looks at everything and together as a vocations office committee, and we decide on whether guys it's good for him to go on, and then we look at one of the six seminaries and say which one's the best for him. So,
and some might think, well, gee, that's a really daunting process. Why do we have all of those? Are we creating barriers? But really, the guys need to know themselves a bit more sometimes, and we certainly need to know who they are.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's not creating barriers. It's actually creating bridges to Christ. I mean, it's you don't want the wrong people in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and not only, and no one comes in perfect. No one actually gets ordained perfect. But we hopefully they've grown a lot in between entering seminary and time for ordination. And a lot of those processes are, one, that it's self-reflective for them, so they get to understand themselves more fully, areas of strength, areas of growth, how God's working in their life in the midst of all that. Our vocation ultimately is to love and to receiving God's love and then giving His love away. And, as they do a lot of these things, they hopefully are seeing and receiving God's love in their own life more fully. And then that then begs the question, all right, Lord, you love me so much, how can I love you back? And that's where clarity comes, whether it's in the vocations, of priesthood, marriage, religious life, single life. That's really the response of that love that God has for us. And we do it in faith, which is faith is a response to what God has revealed to us.
And truth be told, the church asks us to prepare for any sacrament. So any sacrament that a person is to receive, ultimately, we have to be well prepared for.
Exactly.
Disposed to.
Yes, my sister's going to get married the day after the ordination, so I'll be doing her wedding.
There you go.
And so she's doing marriage prep, and rightly so. We need to, we live in a culture more and more that doesn't realize the gravity of a lot of the sacraments and the responsibility that comes with it. And so there is more formation in place.
Mm-hmm.
I recall different times in history where someone was so holy, they said, ordain him there, make him a bishop, you know, and the bishop could do that. But over time in history and culture, we've realized the benefit of having a lengthy amount of time of formation and of growth and of help, really to help, you know, the culture of our time.
Yeah, absolutely. So the culmination of it all, of course, is ordination. And let's talk about that. We have 2 days of ordinations coming up, the first couple of days of June.
Two big days. We got June 1st and June 2nd, which is different than the last part of May. We did June 1st and June 2nd because one of the men, Joseph Schulten, Deacon Joseph Schulten, is studying in Rome, and their finals and everything is different. And in fact, he actually gets done with classes, he'll come back and get ordained, and then go back and do his finals. So
it's a good thing he's an awful smart guy.
He'll do just fine.
He'll be fine.
And we'll be ordaining 6 men to the priesthood on June 2nd, which is an incredible blessing. It's been, I want to say, the early 2000s since we had a class quite that big. We did have a big class about 5 years ago when we had 5 guys ordained, and so this is a great blessing. All these guys are just so incredibly talented, and they're humble and docile to what God wants to do through them and with them. And I'm just so excited about getting these guys in the parishes and working with the people, and they're excited about it, obviously, as well. So a great blessing. It's also going to be a ticketed event because there's so many people going. So you might not be able to get a seat if you come, or maybe you can bring your lawn chair and you can sit it out on the steps of the cathedral there.
Yeah.
And that'd be a great way to do it too. So.
Well, and there will be some overflow seating, I believe, downstairs.
Yes, the whole cathedral hall or the basement there, that'll all be seating, non-ticketed seating. So if you don't have a ticket, you can just show up and go down and sit down there. So
yeah. And it'll also be streamed. So if people want to view it, it'll be live streamed. And we hope it'll work.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for doing that.
We'll make that available. But a grand event, as you said, and an ordination is such a special day, certainly for the ones being ordained, but it's really a great day for the church, for the local church, because of what an ordination means.
Yeah. No, it's the church is the bride of Christ, and the priest is in the person of Christ. And so it's like a wedding, you know, because here's the bridegroom getting ordained. And so the church is excited because, hey, here's a bridegroom for the bride.
Yeah.
And with that comes obviously the love and the sacrifice, which is ultimately the meaning of marriage, which gets its meaning from Christ and his sacrifice upon the cross for his bride, the church. And so, so it's a beautiful reality of great love. And a choice of love, a choice of sacrificing, and those to be ordained, when they lay down, there'll be a point in the ceremony where they'll lay flat on the marble floor there, and it's a sign of them laying down their whole life down for Christ, for him who's first loved them.
Yeah.
And so we've got the 6 guys getting ordained to the priesthood, and the day before, we got a beautiful primer with the ordination to the diaconate, so... Oh, what a beautiful gift for that as well for the church. So
and two men being ordained that day.
Yes,
to the diaconate with the goal of becoming priests in another year.
Yeah, God willing, with everything, you know. So
yeah, absolutely. So and that one, if people are interested, that one there should be plenty of room.
Yeah, there's no ticketing for that. And normally ordinations we don't do ticketing, but because ordinations. 4 of them are coming from the Sioux Falls area, and then the other ones that aren't, they got big extended families, and so it'll be interesting for them as a family trying to figure out, you know, who to give a ticket to. You know, hopefully there's no hurt feelings, but there's only so many seats, and so that's just kind of how it goes.
Yeah, and they'll all be celebrating, of course, beyond the ordination, first masses, and so
exactly.
forth. And so
exactly.
plenty of chance for people to participate.
And that's what we're doing with the invitations, with the guys, getting their invitations to them, and just recommending to them, you know, if you obviously a lot of people you won't be able to invite. So just to put in the invitation, an invitation for the other events, the first mm-hmm. masses, the receptions, all those things. So.
Yeah, absolutely so. Well, again, two grand days coming up on June 1st and 2nd, the church rejoices with this opportunity that we have been given.
Amen.
That's just the beginning of your summer. I know your summer is almost as busy as any other time just because of the events and the things that you've kind of created as you've been the vocations director.
Yeah. No, exactly. So it's a busy time with the Lord. And started off, we've got the fishing tournaments. Those are put on by the foundation, a wonderful event for seminary and education. I believe it's the 21st year that they're doing it.
Yeah,
that's
probably about right.
I think last year was 20 years. Bishop Carlson, Archbishop Carlson, you know, he got it all, the fire lit on it, I guess, if you will.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful event. Usually they raise almost enough financial assistance to pay for three seminarians. And the average expense for a seminarian each year is almost $40,000 a year. So it's a beautiful, beautiful gift for the church. It's a good catch, if you will, for the fishing tournaments.
Absolutely.
Those are the first two Mondays of June. So if you want to come fishing and fish with some seminarians and some priests. Come on the first two Mondays in June. The first Monday is in Big Stone, and then the second is near is Lake Wahi near Gettysburg.
Right.
That's the second day of fishing there.
Grand events, and you can find information about those on the Catholic Community Foundation website, ccfesd.org, if you want to learn more about those fishing tournaments.
Amen. So you get a chance to meet some of the seminarians and also the bishop. He'll be there. So,
and you might even catch a fish.
Yeah, exactly. You might even catch a walleye. So
absolutely so. And for non-fishers, there's other things that go on there.
There's always the fishing banquet. Begins around 7 or 8 o'clock, you know, dock your boat at 7, and then 8 o'clock is you fish until about 2, 2:30. And then, at 3:30-ish or so, the bishop is there. We have mass, maybe a few little introductions by the seminarians and then just, some fundraisers for the seminarians. They have like different silent auction pieces and then wraps up by around, you know, 6 o'clock or so, a prime rib dinner.
Ooh.
There's always a prime rib dinner, so that's always really good. And people always love to come to the events. A picnic event outside, outdoors, always a lot of fun and encouragement for the seminarians too. I know they always are impressed by one of the seminarians. Somehow he'd gone along and he didn't get to the fishing tournament, and he'd been in seminary for almost 4 years. And I was like, "Well, you've never been to a fishing tournament? That doesn't ever happen." And anyways. I said, "You're going." And he went, and he was just so impressed by the gift that it is and just how unique it is. I still get comments from people from other dioceses of other vocations directors, and they say, "You know, what is this again?" And we need to do something like this. So they try to emulate what we're doing.
It's great stuff. It's great stuff. And then you also are doing the Rocky Mountain trip again?
Yes. Yeah. We'll be going to the Rocky Mountains. That's the July 30th to August 5th. For guys who are 16 years of age and older, great opportunity. Myself, Father Jordan Sampson, we have six seminarians, and it's a group of around 40 people. We have a few dads. We try to get a dad that's a doctor, and we do whitewater rafting for 2 days. We hike a 14,000-foot mountain, big stuff. But every single day is filled with prayer. We say all the prayers of a priest, of holy hour, mass, rosary, liturgy of the hours, all those, obviously. And then we have seminarian testimonies as well and small group.
And what's the age group you're aiming at with that trip?
It's 16 and older.
Okay.
So, it seems like it fills up pretty good. I don't think this year we need to do as much advertising because it's our third year doing it. So,
in other words, if you haven't signed up and you want to go, you better get signed up.
Yeah, exactly. You go on our webpage too at sfvocations.com. So sfvocations.com. And if you're a grandparent out there listening to this and you want your grandson to go on a great trip that, you know, he's going to grow in his faith, he's going to spend time with seminarians and just grow in his respect for priesthood in general, you can't get any better than this. We also spend 2 nights at St. John Vianney Seminary. It's kind of our launching pad into the Rockies, and then our launching pad back home.
Yeah.
Right there. So
awesome. Yeah. So great opportunity there. And then we better not miss talking about the car show.
Yes.
We'll be in trouble if we don't talk about the car show.
Yes. So on July 22nd, we'll have our second annual Holy Smoke car show. We call it Holy Smoke because sometimes when you burn your tires, there's a little smoke there. But you'd know anything about that. Yeah. And there will be no burning of tires, I can assure you, as I've been reminded.
Yes. I see.
It's a great event. We did it last year. We had about 1,000 people show up throughout the day. And we had a mass, Sunday mass in the evening. There was a seminary and trike race, which was a lot of fun. Different beautiful trophies that were all donated.
And a chance to see some really cool cars, right?
Yes, a chance to see some really cool cars. It's a family-friendly event, really. We have inflatables for the kids. There's some face painting, things like that. It's just a wonderful day to come out. And it's all at Agorman High School on July 22nd in Sioux Falls. And a wonderful, wonderful event. So bring your old car. And you can go online as well to sfvocations.com or go to holysmokecarshow.org or just com. I forget now. One or the other, but Holy Smoke Car Show. And go to that webpage and you can sign up as well to put your car in into the event.
All right. Lots of good stuff. We have about a minute or so left. Father, I don't know if we covered everything that you wanted to talk about this morning. We started talking about the guys coming home for summer. And again, they do all kinds of stuff from totus tuus to spirituality,
exactly.
To being in the parishes, to all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, the first 2 years, the guys go totus tuus, and we got about five or six doing that. You're going to do evangelization that way. You got five done in Omaha for the Institute for Priestly Formation. It helps them to grow in their prayer life. They do that before they go to theology. And then lastly, we're going to have quite a few guys in the parishes, about 12 guys in the parishes helping out this summer. So 12 apostles sending them out.
Yeah. Yeah. So just a lot of good stuff, huh?
It is. A lot of good stuff. A lot to be thankful for, especially the ordination of these six guys to the priesthood. What a gift.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, as we always say, just because they're in the seminary doesn't mean they're going to be ordained, but boy, when they get there, we're really happy.
Exactly. And don't forget to pray for these guys and pray for the vocations office and pray for all the good work that God's doing.
Including the vocations director?
Exactly. I need the prayers especially.
All right. Well, Sean Haggerty, thanks for being with us this morning on Catholic Views.
God bless you. Thank you.
Gene, just a few seconds left this morning, and it's April, and guess what's next Sunday?
Hard to believe. Palm Sunday's next Sunday. Lent is coming to a close. It's unbelievable.
So take that into account as you're planning for your Holy Week activities. Kind of be prepared if you can. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next Sunday.